Welcome to the Family Life Church Podcast. We hope you're blessed and encouraged to share this with someone you know. Subscribe or visit thefamilylife.org for more information.
Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. Pastor Noel, thank you for allowing me this opportunity to be speaking to the church. 16:21 of Matthew. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this thou shalt not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him do these three things. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You may be seated this morning if you like. I suppose that everyone here growing up at some point in your elementary school or Sunday school or some type of an arrangement in your life learned how to play the game follow the leader. Someone was chosen to be the leader, and everyone was to follow that particular leader. When I was in elementary school, we went through the woods, we went up some hills, we went through some valleys behind Childs Elementary School. We followed the leader wherever that person was going. Sometimes it was embarrassing. I remember one time they made us follow the leader through a classroom that wasn't even our classroom. We didn't know why. The other kids didn't know why we were there. We didn't know why we were there. However, we just blindly followed this leader wherever we were going, because we were supposed to follow the leader. Following the Lord has never been easy. However, it is one of the clearest calls from the Lord, and it's also one of the easiest declarations that people make unto the Lord. Caleb, in the Old Testament, for example, said, I wholly, completely followed the Lord. The Bible says at one place that certain disciples followed him at once. There was no question. There was no fear. There was no negotiating how this would go. They just followed him at once. A scribe came to Jesus and said, Lord, I will follow you whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said to him, The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, you can follow me, but following me to somewhere might actually be following me to nowhere. Are you really ready to follow me? A rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, among other things, at the very conclusion of that dialogue, he said, you have to sell all that you have and give to the poor. A lot of us stopped there and we think that's what stopped the rich young ruler. But Jesus didn't say, just sell all you have and give to the poor. After that, he said, follow me. Some biblical scholars say that selling all that he had and giving to the poor would be one thing, but having to follow might be another. Another place in the New Testament, we find that the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, what is the reward for those of us who have what? Left all to follow you. And that's when Jesus said, every man or woman who has left their father, mother, sister, brother, everything about them is going to have a great reward. Because following isn't always easy. It's easy to hear. It's easy to say. But just like following the leader in elementary school, it's not always easy to do. So when we pick up this interaction with Peter and Jesus, After Jesus began describing to the disciples that people who they thought would be religious people, the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, were going to take Jesus and they were going to kill him, Peter's immediate reaction from his volatile personality was, "No, Lord, it's not going to happen. We are not going to allow this to happen. We are set for a defense." And Jesus said quickly to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for you savor the things of man, but not the things of God." And then Jesus said to those disciples that if any man's to come after him, he has to deny himself, take up his cross, and he has to follow. Right in the middle of Peter's spiritual existence, the Lord had to say to him, "Follow me." This was not the first time that Peter heard that call, "Follow me." Matter of fact, if you turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter number 4, you will find, and forgive me if I do a little more Bible teaching and a little preaching than preaching instead of teaching, whatever we call it these days. I just want to give to you what the word of the Lord has put into my heart. The Bible says that a normal day, just an ordinary day, that Peter and Andrew were in the boats and they were casting their nets into the sea. They were fishers. They were just doing what they did every single day. They knew the realities of work. They knew the realities of life. And they knew how to fish. Perhaps they picked it up from their father, just like James and John a little bit later, the sons of Zebedee a little bit later in chapter 4. All they knew about was fishing. We know that Peter was a married man. We know that Peter had a bit of a temper, a bit of a volatile personality. But on this day, they were just doing a normal day's work. They were casting the net and they were fishing because they were fishers. And then the Bible says that Jesus, when he was walking by, he saw those two brethren and he called to them and said, "Follow me." Now, what's interesting about this is there's not any interaction between the beginning of Peter and Andrew's life and right now with Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus had left Nazareth, he had come into Capernaum, and he had begun to do miracles and signs and wonders and things were happening, but we don't know anything about this connection between Jesus and Simon Peter and Andrew, but there was something about this call from this man who just simply yelled out to two men on a normal day, doing normal things, making their life as balanced as they possibly could, and all he said to them was, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." What's interesting about this is I'm sure they're looking around saying, "Fishers of men, what does that mean? We've never heard of a fisher of men, and we know an awful lot about fishing. We know the seasons. We know the tides. We know the types of fish. We know when the certain fish are coming into this particular depth and we know where to cast the net. We know everything there is to know about weather patterns. We know the time of the fish migrations. We know exactly how to fish, but you're asking us to step out of a boat and do something that we've never heard of, no one's ever talked about? I mean, we never heard anyone down at the fish market saying, "Hey, I'm looking for some fishers of men today." Because sometimes when God calls us and asks us to follow him, it's not to do the same normal things we've always done. Sometimes when he calls us to do things that are out of the comfort zone and out of the normal and calls us to newness of life and calls us to newness of purpose and calls us to newness of living for him. This was completely foreign to Peter to hear these words, "Follow me. I don't follow people. I'm a fisherman for fish. Now this man is asking me to follow him and fish for men." It sounds completely outrageous. But the Bible says that they straightway left their nets and followed him. I'm sure that those around him felt like many of us felt playing follow the leader. They'd be looking at where are Simon, Peter, and Andrew going? There is a harvest out here. There are fish out here. The nets are there. What are these guys doing? They're calling the fishing quit. They're calling it quits fishing early. And if you're a fisherman, there's one thing you know. If the fish are biting, you don't stop. Because the next time you go, they may not be biting. These men just heard these words, follow me, and I will make you. I will do something. I will change you into something you've never heard of that no one's going to understand, but there's a work in front of you. But you have to follow me. The Bible says, and going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and his John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the ship and their father and followed him. So the Lord was walking by the fishermen that day, and he calls out, and fishermen on a normal day left everything to follow. We understand when we read the rest of the book of Matthew, the different things that Jesus had to say, the different things he had to teach, the miracles he had to do. And so Simon Peter, who started out with that simple follow me, not knowing where he was going or what he was following or what was in front of him, he just was following. As his relationship with Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ was doing began to develop around him, he began to become more mature. He began to be a part of miracles. He began to be a part of things that Jesus Christ was doing. So much so, he had an identity now. He had a community now. He had doctrine around him. He was somebody, not just the guy who was fishing. Now he's a disciple of Jesus Christ. And the longer he walked, the further he walked, the more that he was involved with this man called Jesus, the further away he got from those boats. I wonder today how many of us can look back to where we came from and recognize we've been walking, we've been talking, we've been praying, we've been seeing, we've been experiencing this life of living for Jesus Christ. And we hold on and to this faith and this experience very closely. And we don't want anyone to rip it away from us. We don't want anyone to tear it away from us or to change it from us. Because the longer you walk with Jesus, the more you know about him. The longer you walk with Jesus, the closer you become to him. And the last thing you want is for that to be torn away. Jesus finds himself at a particular part of his ministry when he begins to show the disciples. It's not just going to be miracles. It's not just going to be life changes. It's not just going to be five loaves, two fishes, open blind eyes, open deaf ears. It's not just going to be the lame walking. It's not just going to be me preaching to the scribes and Pharisees. There is coming a point where I am going to die. Peter was frightened and angry all at the same time by this, and he stands up and says, "We won't allow it, Lord. Because everything we've experienced from the day we came off that boat has been nothing but miraculous. It's been nothing but the power of God. And you know what? I've seen you do this, and I've seen you do that miracle, and there's no way we're going to allow this to happen." And Jesus had to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You favor the things of man over the things of God. And if you're going to be one of my disciples, Peter, that follow me that you heard the first time, I'm going to have to come right back to you a second time and remind you that when there's volatility in front of you, meaning you don't know how things are going to turn out, if a man is going to come after me, he's going to have to deny himself. That's hard enough. Take up his cross. That's heavy enough. But following me becomes absolutely anxiety-driven walking because you don't know what's next. You're never going to be plucked from my hand, Peter. However, you're going to begin to see things for Jesus Christ, God in flesh, to fulfill the will of God. And that's going to have to be, I'm going to have to die. And I'm going to raise on the third day. Peter, just like the day I promised you'd be something you never were before, I've got to tell you, I'm going to do something that's never been done before. And Peter, you're going to have to follow me. I can imagine the anxiety that he was feeling that day, Peter. I can imagine the feeling of that following, because following isn't always easy. We don't like to do it. Jesus said on one occasion that the blind follow the blind, and they all what? Fall into the ditch. At some time, if you're following the wrong person, you keep bumping into things, you say, hey, where do you know where you're going? But when the Lord says, hey, I'm following you to a place where I'm your Messiah. I'm the one who have provided and done everything in your life. Guess what? I'm going to die. I'm also going to raise the third day, but you're not excited about that. You're more excited about this coming to an end. But you're going to have to follow me. John chapter 21 and verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? The Bible says Peter was grieved. Remember, he started well. He was called to follow in the middle. And now he's being put on the spot about what he's going to do later. And he's asking, the Lord is asking of Peter, do you love me? Are you ready to work? Are you ready to do what I've called and put you set you aside to do? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? Peter was devastated. Lord, why are you asking me this question? And he said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Now I want you to notice this next portion of Scripture. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. In other words, when you were a young man, Peter, you get up in the morning, you'd get dressed, and you could walk around and do whatever you wanted. Free will, free choice. Peter, it's up to you. You can design the life that you want. You can be a great planner. You can be a bad planner. You can put your life together any way you want to. When you were young, you had that freedom. Then he says, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Now I want you to let this settle in for a few moments. It was a normal day, doing the normal things that they were supposed to do. He says, follow me. Jesus then, talking about his death, the future of the disciples became uncertain and they wanted to defend Jesus. He said, follow me. And now, the Lord is not giving any question mark as to what's going to happen to Simon Peter's life. He refreshes him and he says, hey, remember, Peter, when you were young, you had all the freedom in life that you wanted. You could have done whatever you wanted and you followed me. But when you become old, I want to tell you your future. There's coming a point when another man is going to stretch his hands and take your stretched hands and gird you and carry you to a place you didn't want to go. And then he says to him this, this spake he, signifying by which death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Peter, this is what the end of your life is going to look like. Follow me. The beginning, I'll make you a fisher of men. At the end, you're going to be a martyr. Follow me. It's so interesting in our human nature, isn't it, how we overvalue today and undervalue tomorrow? How am I doing today? How do I feel today? How do the next 3 years look? How do the next 5 years look? We undervalue the long-term impact of our lives. Matter of fact, we're doing everything we can to be young. The fountain of youth has been searched for hundreds of years. Everybody's trying to find the answer. We overvalue today because we want tomorrow to be just like today if today is going well. And we want tomorrow to be different if today is not going well. We love to look into the future and try to assess it and massage it and figure it out. Peter, you're going to stretch forth your hands if you're going to be my disciple. Another man is going to bind you. And he's going to take you to a place you don't want to go. Follow me. Peter's personality comes out one more time. It's like the bishop used to say, the old you that's still in you. That little bit that God just has to wring out of the wet washcloth. You know, that little bit you just don't want to give up. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciples. In other words, it's almost like he didn't want to hear that last part that Jesus had to say. Because as soon as Jesus said, follow me, the Bible says that Jesus turned about. And he seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? In other words, he didn't want to hear that last follow me. He's looking around. Because sometimes we don't want the truth to fall on our ears. And he begins looking around saying, who is the disciple that's going to betray you? And Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Because that nature of Peter was coming up one last time to deflect, to look around, not to be a part, and to point to others. And to say, well, what's he going to do? What's his ending going to be like? What's his life going to be like? And Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is it to thee? And then he looks at Peter and one last time says, follow thou me. In other words, Peter, here comes the old man up again, the old Peter. That wants to deny, that wants to accuse, that wants to be volatile, that wants to deflect and look the other way. Because deflection is the way in our human nature that we love to deal with things we don't want to hear. After the Lord said to him, listen, this is how you're going to die. He doesn't even respond to that. He starts looking around. Oh, it's got to be that person. It's got to be that person. It's got to be that person. I remember when I studied behavioral finance at the Wharton School, they always talked about optimism bias. If something's going to go wrong, if something is going to be asked of someone, they're going to ask someone else on the pew. The Lord's going to do it to that person or that person. If it's negative, if it's positive, send it on down, send it on down. But if the Lord's going to give you a calling, if the Lord is going to pluck or prune something out of your life, we look around and say, okay, that person, that person, that person, that's exactly what Peter was doing. The Lord told him and said, you're going to have to follow me. He starts looking around. What about John? What about this guy? What's going to happen to him? And the Lord quickly brought him back and said, what is it to thee? Follow thou, you, Peter. You follow me. I wonder today in 2021, if you've only heard the Lord ask you to follow him from the very beginning, and this is all new to you, if we're following, I wonder if you've been in the church for quite a while and you think you got this thing figured out and you've allowed the influences of the world and the influences of the church to kind of meet in the middle and you're trying to wrestle and struggle with things. If the Lord would say to you, follow me, how we would respond. I wonder if the Lord were to say to you, this is how this whole thing is going to end, and it may not look as pretty as you really wanted it to. Maybe you didn't get to the goal you had in life. Maybe you didn't achieve everything you wanted to achieve in life. Maybe this life wasn't everything you'd hoped it would be. And you spent your time in covetousness and jealousy and pride and looking around, distasteful thoughts about others because they seem to be a step or two ahead, but everyone has their day. Don't ever forget that. But you look around. And it wasn't like you thought it was going to be. And you look back and say, there was a time I could have redone this whole thing. David said it this way. My feet almost slipped out from under me when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And until I went to the sanctuary and I saw their end, I about lost it. Hallelujah. Peter, follow me. And in that moment of deflection, that moment when you don't want to hear what the Lord has to say, that moment when the Lord is going to say to you, this is the will of God for your life. But I wanted this and I wanted that and this was supposed to be this and that was supposed to work out this way and 2 + 2 is supposed to equal 4, but for me it equaled 3 and I'm not happy about it. What if the last thing the Lord were to say to you as a fleshly human being, is follow me. I wish he would say, go lay hands on the sick and they're going to have the greatest revivals and miracles and raise the dead. I wish he would say all these things. Highly favored. We love that. It's kind of gone out of fashion, but a few years ago, highly favored. Everything was going on and we're looking for all this great and glorious opulence of God. But what if his words to you simply were, follow me. This is your destination. Would we still be as excited to follow that day as we were the day, the normal day, when we were asked to jump off the ship and become fishers of men? Because the excitement of following begins to drift over our lives. But we must, in 2021, be followers of Jesus Christ. Lift up your hands all over the sanctuary. Let's stand if we could. Father, we give you praise. We give you thanks. We don't even know. We don't even know all the different voices that are coming at us in the world. You told us that there would be a lot of voices. You told us there would be a lot of voices. You told us there would be false prophets. You told us there'd be tribulation. You told us there would be these things. And in the middle of this atmosphere, Lord, we're trying to counterbalance this. We're looking for revival. We're looking for deliverance. We're looking for salvation on one hand. And we're trying to hold on with our other hand with all the voices and the false prophets and all the things that are going on the earth. And the clear voice is this, follow you. Follow you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's lift up our hearts and our souls unto him today. And let's recommit to following him. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, saints. Let's lift our hands and our hearts unto God this morning. Lord, maybe our minds are a little bit confused. Maybe they're cloudy. Maybe we've been following in one direction for a long time and we're weary. Keep following. Maybe we haven't gotten everything that we wanted. Keep following. Maybe the ending isn't exciting as I thought it was going to be. Keep following. Lord, I want to know about everybody else's ending. No, because if I see their ending, I can compare my ending to theirs. And I want to see if I'm doing no. Follow me. Follow me. In 2021, are we following the Lord? Or are we trying to ask the Lord to follow us? What's more dangerous, to be in front of God and asking Him to follow you around, to be right next to God and asking God to move into your life and the way you want it to go. The best place to be is behind the Lord and following. Sometimes it might be embarrassing. Sometimes it's separating you from the world. Sometimes it's a different life than everyone around you is living. But that, my brothers and sisters, is what following the Lord is all about. In the name of Jesus, amen.